Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden beach. What?
Well, good evening once again, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another exciting episode of the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting with us is Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, and we're just thankful that you've taken the time out of your schedule to come and join and sit down with us at the table. Brother Feaster, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm making it. I'm putting my best effort on the right, and I'm making it. That's all I can say right now.
Well, the listeners are not coming to hear you just making it. They're coming to hear you just come and bring it. So you're going to have to get it together, my brother. Sister Sanders, how you doing, cousin?
Woo! I'm taking
there
up from the air, Feaster. I am blessed and highly favored. I'm so glad to be on the call tonight. I'm ready to bring it, because God has been so good to me. He's been better to me than I can have been to myself. How you doing, Nate?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We need some life into this party. Sister Sanders, let me tell you, I'm glad that you did that, and I know you did it from the heart. You know, that is the type of spirit that we need in a time like this. For those who are listening, we really, again, appreciate you joining on with us. But for those of you who may not know, and I don't think there's too many people that don't know, we're going through a little bit of something in the United States of America, for those who are listening from overseas, and it's called a government shutdown. And so tonight we're going to have a show that's talking about economic certainty. And I think, and I was talking to Brother Feaster a little bit earlier today, saying that God had given me something earlier today, and by the time I left work later this afternoon, God had taken this whole subject for tonight into a whole other subject. So just sit back, relax, and just be ready to deal with whatever is coming your way. Let me just see if Brother Feaster or Sister Sanders, even one of you, have anything that you can give a little bit of recap or talk to us just a brief moment about how that show was last week with Sister Acacia. Matter of fact, I knew it. I had to go straight to her. Sorry, bro.
I was raising my hand. Like, pick me. Okay, the show last week was phenomenal. If you are on the call today and did not hear the show from last week, I really want to encourage you to go and log on to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show from the PRF Table that talked about the Affordable Care Act, not the Obama Act, not Obamacare like the media wants to portray, but the Affordable Care Act that is designed for people who work but cannot afford health insurance for themselves or their families. This is an opportunity for you to get the medical care and the health care, the dental, optometry care that you and your family need. If you are paying taxes to the government, then you need to take advantage of this program. It is so amazing and so good to know that just like the Bahamas, just like a lot of our other foreign countries that have free health care for their citizens, that the United States of America has now finally come on board to give it, our citizens, something that will give us hope in the area of our medical care, our health care, whether it be counseling, whether it be, like I said, optometry. What you need to do, the window opened up on 1 October. That is this past Tuesday. Yes, the same day, ironically, where the government shut down. But the open enrollment is still open, so you have an opportunity to go look at your, even go to www.healthcare.gov to see what your state is going to offer you. There are 10 items automatically that you will get just when you enroll, but your state may have some other benefits for you. So if you did not hear the show on last week, the information that I just gave you is just small recap. We had questions and answers from Acacia, who we were just honored to be on the air because she does work as a part of President Obama's administration. So to have her on the phone was such a blessing, to have her just an humble spirit, an humble heart to teach us and to inform us on the Affordable Care Act, that it is worth our sharing. It is worth churches and other organizations getting together and getting the training so that they can also spread the word in the community to help some young man, to help some young mother, some young father to get the health care that they need, not just for yourselves, but for your children or for someone else that you know that needs to have health care. This is the opportunity to do it, and you do not want to pass it up. If you're paying your taxes, if you are an American citizen, you deserve this. And so I just thank you, Nate, for this opportunity to give me the chance just to share this information, and that's all that I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do want to just come out the gate and say if there's anybody that's listening and want to jump in, if you were listening last week and have anything that you wanted to contribute, please just press 1 on your telephone or your dial pad or go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and let us know what you're thinking. We are very, very interested in your conversation, your experiences, what's going on in your life. Let me just tell you, we're going to not deal with so much about the Health Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act, but we are going to deal with it because in the big scheme of things, what we're dealing with is we're not dealing with one thing. And I think a lot of people understand that this whole situation that we're in right now as a country is not about the Affordable Health Care Act. This thing that we're experiencing right now is not about the government shutdown. There's some of us that can really see and understand that it is a lot bigger than that. And just like PRF, Possessions, Resources, and Finances, everything or so many things are connected to each other. If you think about it and if you listen, for one reason or another, the government shutdown is affected by the Affordable Health Care Act. May not be the only reason, but it is definitely one of the reasons. So we have to take things into consideration and be able to know that one thing is affecting the other. Tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen, is not a show about what the Republicans are doing or what they're not doing. Please hear me. Tonight's show is not about what the Democrats are doing, what they've done, or what they're not doing. It's what we're doing as a body of believers. It's what we're doing as individual church bodies within our own individual communities, or you as nonprofit organizations that have your mark as far as helping individuals in the community, doing things for the community, especially in times of crisis like these. So, again, if you want to join and jump into the conversation, have a seat at this table, press one on your dial pad, we'll bring you into the conversation. Brother Feaster, I want you to start off tonight, if you will, and as we were talking a little bit earlier today, I know that you had some things on your mind, and I just want you to just talk to us about this topic or this notion about economic certainty. You and I were talking, brother, that there's a lot of people that are out here right now that are uncertain about tomorrow, uncertain about what their future is going to hold. So as a fellow minister, if you can just start off the gate so we can kind of set this stage a little bit for tonight, and what would you say, what can be something that you feel that God has laid into your heart or is speaking to you that you can encourage some people out there, because all of us don't work for the government, but all of us are going to be affected by the situation of individuals who are working for the government. Does that make sense? Right. So what is it that you can bring to us just to get us going for tonight in the right spirit, brother?
I'm going to start it off by just talking about my drive into work this morning. You know, for those of y'all that don't know, I am in the military, and a lot of the government shutdown is really impacting a lot of the missions and a lot of the things that I am doing. And normally on my way into work, it's not congested, but there is a nice display of vehicles and people and everything. And as I was on my way in this morning, I noticed that traffic wasn't as congested. And as I drove around on my way to work, it wasn't a whole lot of people out like it normally is. And I got the PT, and we're exercising, and I'm looking around, and it's just not a whole lot of people. I mean, you normally see a lot more people, a lot more vehicles, a lot more activity. And I didn't see it all. And again, this is the third day in a row, and I'm really a little bitter and upset, like many of us are, about what's going on in the government. And as I looked around in the middle of my running, the thought just came to me, and I put it on Facebook, I am glad that my trust is in God. Because in times like this, We need some stability. We need something to stand on. We need something to encourage us. We need something that's going to make us feel good about getting up that morning and not having anywhere or anything to do. So this morning, it gave me a sense of peace. It gave me a sense of hope. It gave me a sense of relief, actually, to know that my faith and my trust was in God and not just the government, which is the topic of pretty much everybody's conversation, but not just the government. I mean, if my faith is not in my car, my faith is not in my health, my faith is in God. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, I am responsible for doing the things that I'm responsible for doing. And in the midst of that, God is going to allow some things to happen. And during that, I am trusting that God is looking out for my best interest. I am trusting that if I don't have the money to pay the bill, and a lot of people are going to say it like this, I'm trusting that God is going to give me the money to pay the bill. But my hope and my faith and my trust in God says when the bill is due and it's time to pay the bill and I don't have the money and I can't pay the bill and the repossession happens, my faith and my hope is still in God. Not in the fact that I didn't get the money for the bill, but in God. There is a purpose for my life. There is a plan for my life. There is a lesson to be learned. There is something to get out of this. In this economic crisis right now, that's a really bold, and to some people probably saying that's a really hard statement to say. But the truth of the matter is we have to have something to hold on that's stable to help us through this time. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it was on this show or if it was at church, but I remember saying this. You know, there's a story of a little boy walking, and he looks up, and his mom says, "Hold my hand." And the little boy says, "No, Mom, I don't want to hold your hand, because if I hold your hand and slip, there's a chance that I might let your hand go. So I'm asking that you hold my hand, because I know that if I let go, you still have me." And that's that hope. That's what's going to get us through every day of this crisis, every day of this economic situation, every day of our health situation, every day of our children, our family, whatever the situation is. That's what's going to get us through, being able to stand on something stable, being able to be secure in something that's secure, being able to have hope in something that's hopeful. That's what's going to get us through. And that might vary for a lot of people. It may not be your faith in God. I mean, whatever it is for you, that's what's going to get you through. But we have to have that stability. We have to have something to look at. The Bible says, "I look into the hills from which cometh my help." In other words, I'm looking far past where I am now. And a lot of times in situations like this, we're looking at the right now. And the right now looks bad. The right now looks bad. But we all know, no matter how upset we are right now and whatever the situation is, we all know that there is another day. There is a tomorrow. There is a way out. I may have to work a little harder. I might have to press a little further. I may have to do a little more, but there is a way out. And that's that hope. That's that little sliver of relief. That might be the only thing that gets me to sleep at night. So that's what I want to encourage everybody with as we start the show, that we have to have something stable to stand on during this time. That's where I'm going to stop right there, JR.
You know, and let me throw this out. You know, in John 16, Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, you know, "I've told you all these things so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you are going to have tribulations," or we can translate that for trials and sorrows, "but take heart because I have overcome the world." So for those of us who are believers, it is those of us who are believers who realize and understand it's not the government.
Right.
That's why I prefaced this earlier in the show. Our trust, and I'm glad you said that your trust is in God. Our trust, our faith, is not in the government system. Not that, and let me back up a little bit. we should trust our governmental system to do the right thing by us as the people of this country. However,
right.
at the same time, for our security, it shouldn't be in our government.
Mm-hmm.
Our trust, first and foremost, should be with God. And I'm, again, I'm speaking as a believer. I'm speaking as a minister. That's the stance that I'm taking for in this particular context that we're talking about for this show tonight. So, again, Brother Freestyle, I'm glad that you put that out there to us. I'm glad that God used you the way that that he used you in that instance, because people need to hear that. People need to be encouraged. Let me just go in here. I don't know which way I want to go with this, y'all. I have several different points that I want to talk about. Me and Brother Feaster were talking earlier today, and one of the things that I told Brother Feaster was, I don't know if I'm even going to go to church on Sunday. I'm considering whether Reverend Dunlap is actually going to go to church on Sunday. Why?
So please tell us why. Yes, please tell us why. Please tell us why.
And this is me. This is what I'm considering. So I'm not telling anybody to do anything. What I don't want to happen is this. I don't want Sunday to be business as usual. I don't want Sunday to be like Sunday after 9/11 hit. The Sunday after 9/11 hit, the churches were full because we were experiencing a crisis. The Sunday after 9/11, the churches was full because we were experiencing a crisis. People were coming together as people of faith. People were coming together as people of color. And because of the crisis that was going on, we seemed to come together. And a lot of playing to that crisis was done. But for whatever reason, it didn't last. When we go to church on Sunday, those of us who go to church on Sunday, we often know that we're going to hear a message about Jesus dying on the cross, rising again, giving an invitation to be saved. All that is great things, and it has its place in church, in a worship service on a Sunday morning or Saturday night or whenever you do it. But my concern is this, and I'm asking God to lead me. I'm concerned that on Sunday morning, it's going to be business as usual in a lot of places. Now, it may not be business as usual the place that God leads me, but it may be business as usual in the church that I normally go to. And I don't want that, brother. My heart is feeling something more than business as usual in this crisis that we're living in right now. If I had a message to my brothers who are going to preach on Sunday, and I don't even know if I'm going to be preaching on Sunday, who knows? But I was thinking about this. What message will you bring? What message will I bring? What is God saying to us about how we need to band together and help each other in this time of crisis? Now, Brother Fisa, I would never tell or suggest to another man or woman of God what to preach or how to teach God's word or how to teach or what to say to their people, to his people. But I do believe I can be in order if I ask the question to them, to you, Brother Feaster. Do you have the courage to ask God those questions? What message will you have me to bring that deals with this situation that's affecting so many doggone people in our country? And the reality is this. It's not so much what's affecting the people in our country. It's affecting the people that I'm going to sit next to on Sunday morning.
Right.
I don't want business as usual. Hopefully y'all will pray with me on that. We don't want business as usual. Somebody who has not worked since October 1st, who already knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you, needs more than the cross message. They need some encouragement about this uncertainty that they're in right now. They need their faith strengthened, as you just did to a lot of people, Brother Feaster, that's going to listen to the show after the show is over with, through the archives or is listening right now. They need more than that. That's what my heart is. That's what I believe so many people need. I can talk about my community. A couple of months ago, a whole bunch of people from the base got furloughed.
Yeah.
Now a whole bunch of people are not working on the base. A whole bunch of people at my institution was not working. This is what one brother said. I see you when I see you.
Hmm.
We got people that's waiting for positions that people in the government have to do some clearing of them. And guess what? Somebody told me, my assistant told me that her daughter said this. She called the place, and a person answered the phone because they had people still answering the phone. And the person who answered the phone said, "Ms. Such and Such, I see your paperwork is on the desk, but there's nobody there to process it." I'm sorry, y'all. We can talk about Jesus on the cross on Sunday morning if we want to. I'm not telling anybody what to preach or teach. But for those of us who are already believers, what is that going to do? Is that going to be enough encouragement? So I'm hoping that brothers and sisters that have that opportunity on Sunday, whether it's myself, Brother Feast, or whoever it is, will really be able to just go to God and say, what do I need for the people that are in this crisis? Because remember, after 9/11, there was people that wasn't probably going to church that all of a sudden started coming back to church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people that have left the church that may come back seeking the church to be able to help them in their situation. I'm not talking about a handout. I'm talking about needing some doggone real deal encouragement. They need a real spiritual word from the Lord on what is it that I'm going to need to be able to help me get through. Sister Dear, talk to us.
I will tell you when I, looking at, when I saw the topic for tonight's show, the first thing that came to my mind was this hymn. And the hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness." And so when I thought about that, I mean, like, I don't like hymns, and I probably messed up the hymn that I, the little line that I did just recite, but that was the first thing that came to my mind, that in economic uncertainty, we need to know our faith and our hope has to be anchored in the Lord. When you look at Jesus, and I've had this conversation with my father and my husband numerous times, I think that, and I want to tie in something that you had on Facebook a couple of days ago, where you said either you're a Republican or you're a Christian, but you can't be both. Either you're a Democrat or you're a Christian, or you can't be both.
Uh-oh.
I have always been challenged and have challenged other people who like to throw up a political party but forget where their hope should be anchored into is that of the democracy of Jesus Christ. Anytime we forget what Jesus stood for, what he fought for, what he preached, flipped tables over, how he pressured those know-it-all Sadducees and Pharisees, we will always have to choose a political party or something to cover up where our real heart's motive is. And so when we look at our economic uncertainty, like I said, the song came to me. It says, "My hope is built." It's not something that you start today. It's not something that you started yesterday, though you can. But what I'm saying is that you have a faith and a hope and a certainty that far exceeds what you can fathom in your mind. And so I really liked the fact that you're challenging us as individuals, as the body of Christ, because we are the church. We just happen to go to a building on
right.
the week, on Sundays and Wednesdays or wherever, whenever you have your worship service or Bible study. But the thing that we need to understand is that when you look at the life of Jesus, he really believed in working for the people. That is what our government is supposed to be reflecting, whether they saved or not. They're supposed to work for the people. So when the people lose trust in the government, there has to always, it has to be something more than that. And like you said earlier, it's not just the fact that we don't want to have trust in the government, but when you understand the spiritual manifestation of the natural is that we have a government and there's a reason why. And a lot of times we sometimes may look over that point, because I know Romans chapter, I think 13, talks about the government and setting it up, and talks about, you know, Jesus, he paid his taxes and different things like that. But what I think that we can, what we can begin to focus on is, where is my hope? Because a lot of times, some people, before this government shutdown even took place, we didn't know where our hope was anchored in. And so I think it's so important, as Brother Feaster has already done and set the stage for, is to know where our hope is. Our hope has to be in something greater than ourselves. And I'm really hoping that church is not church as usual, because people need to know that even in economic uncertainties, that God is still a God that's on the throne.
That's
and
right.
I think it was just so important that Feaster said, you know, if I can't pay my bill, it doesn't mean that God is not there. But there is something bigger and better for you. And I know sometimes that's not what people want to hear, but it's the truth. Because sometimes we get wrapped up in certain things. And I know what I'm saying may sound like, well, you just said my hope got to be built in this. And but my hope is that God is going to work it out for me. But then in the same breath, if my bills don't get paid, how am I still supposed to have hope? Because we know that God is able. And that's where our hope has to lie, that God is able. I have been in situations personally where I thought God was going to come through one way and he didn't. So my expectation of what I was thinking that God was going to do did not come that way. And I suffered loss. And I suffered some nights where I didn't even have electricity, or when my food was low. But I knew that God was still there, because my hope was built in something greater than the tangible, material, monetarily system that we live in. And so I think that in economic certainty, if I understand, Nate and Feaster, where you're at, is that, yes, we are experiencing a government shutdown. But it doesn't stop our faith. It doesn't stop where our prayers can reach. It doesn't stop the God that we serve. And I was even thinking, I even went a step further. I said, and I don't know how this is going to sound, but I'm going to say it. Until we know and understand that God has already blessed us, we don't have to keep saying God bless America. Because every day that we wake up, he's blessed us. And so we keep asking for God to do something that he has already done. And I'll take it a step further to say that in Mark 11:24, it says that when you pray, and this was Jesus talking, he said, and when you pray, if you believe that you have received them, then you shall have them. And I remember talking to a sister of mine. I said, them is not singular, it's plural. Them is not singular, it's plural. So there are a lot of things that we are believing God for, but the thing is that we got to already know that we've received them, because if I ask Feaster for $5 and he tells me, yes, he's going to give it to me, I don't have to ask him again, because he's already told me that I got it, even before he puts it in my hand. It's the same concept with God and with our prayers, that if we ask God for something and we believe that we received it, to know that we already have it, I don't have to ask him to bless America again, because we already have been blessed. The thing is that we got to turn back to the Lord and not wait until situations like this happen to say, now, God, I want to put my trust in you, because he's been there all along.
But for some people, Sister Dear, it takes certain things like what we're experiencing right now.
And I agree.
You see what I'm saying? For some people, I've been there. I've been there where I should have been farther along where I was, but sometimes those experiences of going through these hardships or going through certain hardships have built my faith. You can't get to a place where Brother Feaster was discussing or ministering with us a few minutes ago, not by going through trials and tribulations.
That's right.
You don't get to where Brother Feaster is at. And Carlo, I see you at 7607. I'm coming to you right now. But you don't get to that place in your life where Brother Fisa was talking about by everything being given to you on a silver platter. You don't get to that level of faith by everything being good in your life. You get to that place by either having some experiences, having some challenges, whether you're experiencing them personally or whether somebody in your family is experiencing them personally, and you're walking with them through that tough time. That's how your faith gets built. So let's go to this caller right now who's been waiting on the phone line for patiently, 7607. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hi, yes. This is Jarda, and I just logged in and heard some really good dialogue regarding the question, where is my hope, and not having church as usual on Sunday. And even what you were saying, Brother Dunlap, just before you acknowledged my call about us having to go through certain things, and those things are can possibly bring us closer to God. You know, I had a chance to preach last Sunday at a youth Sunday service, and really had a chance to talk about this very thing, as a matter of fact. And, you know, we as believers, we have to remind ourselves that our relationship with God is not based upon how much money we have or don't have. And that's not what the kingdom is about, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And one thing that I would preach if I were to preach this Sunday would be, what's in your hands? You know, a lot of people have been blessed with a lot of different things, and even though they may have been laid off or they may be financially adverse, they've had some adversity in their finances right now, that's not who they are. And oftentimes we have associated who we are with what we have. And when those things are stripped away from us or potentially stripped away from us, that's when we really get to see who we are. Not just who or what we have our faith in, but who we are. And it's an opportunity for us as the people of God who are supposed to have power to be reminded that we do have power, and that it's our responsibility as citizens of the United States to not just vote for quality candidates, but to hold them accountable. It's our right legally to protest. It's our right legally to stand up for justice, for righteousness. And so how are we going to rally together, and what are we going to do about the fact that the Republicans have this kind of authority to shut the government down and to therefore put us in this particular situation? And what kind of power and authority do we as Christians really have? Do our prayers really avail much? Or have we gotten so far away from our prayer life that we're ineffective? Do we really have the power that God says that we have, or have we just denied that power so much? And when we do come together and pray, are we looking for a handout? Are we looking for our genie to grant us three wishes? Or are we looking for God to genuinely empower us to go back out there and do what we know that we can do?
Good question. Thank you, sister. We appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, and we appreciate your comments. You know, Brother Fisa, I'm going to come to you, but again, I just want to tell everybody, because we've had a lot of callers that have joined in since we started the show, we want everybody to understand this show is not about what the Republicans are doing, what the Democrats are doing, what they're not doing. It's really about what we are doing as a body of believers, and that was the question that Sister Jarda just mentioned. She said, what are we doing? So I want everybody just to continue to focus on that. Continue to focus on what are we doing. Again, as a body of believers, as as individual church bodies within our own individual community. And let me just say this, Brother Friesen, I'll bring you on. You know, one of the lessons to PRF is about savings. That's one of our PRF lessons. And I know that on the PRF table, we haven't dealt with specific shows dedicated to that subject. But I think in light of this conversation and where this has been taken, you know, this government shutdown, this Affordable Health Care Act, talking about savings just for a moment, I think, is in line. So just indulge me for a minute. I had a phone call earlier with my wife, and my wife said this. This is the conversation that we had, and, of course, it's not going to be word for word. But she said, do you realize that she called me, I was in a meeting, and I picked up the phone, and she said, do you realize I'm a government employee? And I was like, yeah. She said, you ain't saying nothing to me about it, about what everything that's going on? And I said, I really ain't got time to worry about all that. We'll be fine. And then she was like, okay, and I hung up and continued with my meeting. And then I talked to her after work, and she said, the way that I said all nonchalantly was reassuring to her. And here's what she said. She said, I know I trust God, and it was confirming to know that we're both on the same sheet of music. My faith is strong enough to know God is bigger than this government.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why I think that is important. You know, our sister just mentioned this. Here's a question, and Brother Feast, if you can post this to the Possessions by Resources and Finances Facebook page, I appreciate it. Why do you have what you have? And I want others to call in and be able to respond and answer to that question. But why do you have what you have? We have to have conversation about actual money because we're really dealing with money. Money is the biggest thing that is out there. Those who are not able to work are not going to earn a paycheck. Those who are currently unemployed may have a little harder time getting a job. Those who were in the midst of seeking employment or almost there or had some offers, some things are put on hold. So some of us, Brother Feaster, have been blessed to have a savings, right? Some of us only have it. And it's not because we're so smart with our money. It ain't because we're so disciplined. It's not because we have such good jobs. It's not because we receive PRF training. But it's only by the grace of God that we have what we have. The other thing I want to point in, and I'll bring you in after this, what are you going to do with, and if you could post this, I appreciate it, Brother Fisa, what are you going to do with what you have been given? Let me suggest that God has blessed so many of us. And what he's blessed us with is not really for us. Maybe what I have is to be a blessing to somebody else. If y'all remember, dear, when Brother Saeed was on the show a couple of months ago, he said most of us are just one significant incident away from poverty. Do y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He said that, right? This was a couple of months ago, before we even had any whim about a government shutdown. Well, today, let me just say this. This government shutdown is such a significant incident because it affects so many people. People at this time, they really need all this encouragement. Everything that's going on right now that we're talking about, but in addition to the encouraging words, bro, there has to be some action to help those in need.
Right.
So let's look at it like this. Let's say I got 3 to 6 months worth of savings saved up, which is a goal that we teach people that they need to strive for. It used to be 6 months, but now it's more than that. I mean, now it's less than that. I don't believe that while I'm good for those 3 to 6 months because I had that much saving in the bank or wherever I have it, that God is going to look down on me with pleasure if I, as an individual, in my comfortable state, am only concerned about myself and my family.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, looking at and watching the brothers and sisters around me, the brothers and sisters that are sitting next to me in the pews in the church, looking at them struggle, looking at them lose their mind, looking at them waver in their faith, or what about even going to a strict survival mode that they may do some illegal or some immoral things that they know they shouldn't do just to survive. I'm telling y'all, I don't believe that God, the God that I serve, has blessed me, has blessed those of us who have stuff right now to be so self-centered. And you can't show me in the Bible. You can't prove it to me on a spiritual basis. So, again, the question is, what are you going to do with what you've been given? That's my question. Brother Fisa, I'm sorry, you got to hold on, bro, because we got somebody who's called on the line. So call over the last 4-5-6-5-6. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yes, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Marianne. Williams calling. This call is such a blessing because this week I have really been going through some problems. My I always knew I had needed some dental work, but just seemed like the beginning of the ending of last week, I started encountering some trouble with my teeth. And I would take my Tylenol and I would use my oral gel. Everything was fine. But as going into this saying with Saturday, I was in so much pain. So my husband took me to his dentist, and so I found out that I needed $169, you know, for them to do my X-rays. And then they would tell me what else I needed. And so I didn't have it. So, and I was just so discouraged when I found out that I wasn't able to get the affordable health plan, you know, because I was really depending on that. And so here I am. So I said, okay, Jesus, okay, you know, I said, I just know that you're going to make a way. And so I didn't think too much about it until I woke up and just seemed like I was in so much pain, and this was on Monday. I was in so much pain, and I said, you know, God, I need favor. I need favor. So I got on the phone and I called the dentist, and I told her, I said, I really need to see the doctor. I said, I am in so much pain. I said, and I know that you said that I have to have $169, you know. I said, but I don't have $169. So she said, okay. She says, you just bring in $88 and we can do a partial X-ray on the part that's bothering you. So I went on to the dentist the next day. And I was just really thanking God for it and just thanking God for favor. So when I went in there, the technician, she says, I'm going to give you, she looked, you know, she examined everything. She said, I'm going to give you, I'm going to X-ray you and everything. And I says, well, I'm only supposed to get a partial because, you know, I only have $88. I said, because what the lady told me at the front desk. She says, we're going to take care of you. She said, don't you worry, we're going to take care of you. She says, you're going to get a full partial for that $88. And I tell you, I just thank God for it. And then when the doctor came in, and he was telling me, he says, don't worry. He says, mm-hmm. We're going to take care of you. He says, but I really have some serious problems here. So he put me on medication and everything. And he told me, he says, and when they finished figuring up my cost, okay, it's going to cost like $2,900 to get my top teeth removed, the 11 that I need. But he told me, you know, it's going to be a long process, but he says we're going to do one at a time, and they're only going to charge me $171. And I walked out of there, and I was just, I cried, you know, because just to see how good God was, you know. I didn't think about who I could call or think about, well, maybe I could ask one of my children. I said, Jesus, I need favor. And I got on that phone, and God just let me know, you know what I'm saying, yes, I'm carrying you now. You know, and it reminded me of the footprints, you know, and it was saying, where were you? He said, I was carrying you all the way. And that's what he's doing. And now today, I took my medication like I should. Today, I have no pain. I'm feeling so much better. And so okay. I had someone to say, well, you talk about Jesus like he's just there I said, well, that's what he is to me, a person. I said, when all is said and done, I said, when I was by myself after my husband passed away, it was me and Jesus. And I said, Jesus, you and me. I said, if you don't help me get these things done and I need to get done, then they're just not going to get done. And he just really, it wasn't an overnight thing. And like you say, you're going to have to go through some trials and tribulations, you know. But as I stood and believed and just knew that God was just going to take me through this, you know, and I just want to give that testimony, you know, to just let, just in confirmation to what is going on here, that God wants to say, you know, those of you that believe, and you just continue to trust me because I'm the one that got the answer. Thank you.
Well, just let me, before you go, let me do one thing, and I think this will be a good thing to do. Can you tell us the name of your dentist and what city you're located in? And the reason I'm asking that is because there's a lot of good people that are doing a lot of good things in a lot of our communities. And if we don't uplift those individuals, I'm not talking about put them on pedestals, but God works through people. You ask God for help, and God provided a person or persons to help you in that situation. So I think it is, as we give praise to God, we need to be thanking the individuals as well. So I'm going to let you do this. I mean, please, you can do it. And others that are in your area may hear that and may realize that there's some good people in this industry, especially in the medical industry, that are really out there and concerned about people and do things to help people, not just for money all the time. So if you can do that before we let you go, Carla, we appreciate it.
Sure. His name is Dr. Poe, and it's in Jackson. I'm in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and he's in the Office Park, 50 Office Park.
His name is Dr. Poe. All right. Thank you for that testimony, my sister. We truly appreciate it. Brother Fisa, I know you've been holding on for a while. Talk to us, brother. Go ahead.
I am sitting here and listening to everything that's being said, and I honestly feel like, you know, the sprinter that's in the blocks, and you're here to get ready, you're here to get set, and that moment right before the gunshot goes, that's how I feel right now. So y'all bear with me. I'm about to come out the blocks. I was listening to what was being said, and man, there's so many things came across my mind that I pulled up a couple of things, and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm not going to have time to say all this stuff, so I'm just asking, you know, where would you want me to go? What would you want me to say? And it came back to what the first caller said. She asked the question, JL, I think you asked the question, what are we doing? And I like how over time and over the course of time you beat me up. In love, of course, but you beat me up plenty of times because a lot of times I harp on what people are not doing as opposed to doing finding out the things that we are doing. And I just want to read you something, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I use my Facebook page as an inspirational page. I use my page to where I talk about health, where I talk about fitness and eating right. I talk about the Bible and God, and I talk about just inspirational stuff. You know, I really don't deal with a whole lot of specifics, you know. And I rarely talk about politics because I don't have time for all of that and all the left and right and the up and down and all the people. But I was just driving home on September the 30th from work. And, you know, all the meetings and all the emails that came out and emails were still coming out about the pending shutdown. And my heart was heavy. My heart was burdened. And this is what I wrote on Facebook. I'm going to read what I wrote. I'm going to read a response, and then I'm going to read my response to the response. And I will tell you, I don't always respond to the response because sometimes people just want something to say, but I felt the need to respond to the response. But I wrote on Facebook, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Politician, while you are enjoying your dinner tonight with your family around the table, there are many American families who sit quietly around theirs. While you are enjoying your evening with your family and its activities, there are many American families who will sit aimlessly around the TV. When you decide to go to bed and enjoy a peaceful night's sleep, many parents will toss and turn all night. And when you arrive tomorrow morning to go back to your job, many Americans will wake up unsure of their job. Please allow me to take this time to thank you for your great job looking out for us common folk as we elected you to speak on our behalf. Please continue to enjoy your time in office and looking out for us.
I see you at the polls, signed a taxpaying voter. And the response that somebody wrote was, we need to start recall petitions for all the politicians in D.C. And my response to that was, honestly, I disagree simply because it would take entirely too long, and we would end up sending to them anyway. I'm a very simple man, and I think we should use the power that we have that has been afforded to me and vote. And that's kind of really what I want to talk about. I don't really want to deal with the shutdown. I don't really want to deal with, you know, this moment in time. I just want to talk about the power that I have to vote. I know everybody don't have that power. Everybody don't have that privilege. Everybody don't have that right. But those of us that have that power to vote, that's where we stand firm. That's where we come together as a country and united stand. Regardless if you're Democratic, Republican, or whatever, that's when we as Americans come together for one stand. And that one stand says, I want to be heard. Regardless of who you're standing for, what cause you're standing for, or what you're voting for, we as Americans, that's when we are coming together, united, and saying, I want to be heard. And the first caller, she asked the question, she said, don't just vote, but hold them accountable. Now, I get burdened and upset when people only want to vote for the presidency. A friend of mine, when Obama, his first election, came to us 2 weeks before, we were in Iraq, and he came to me and one of all the battle buddies and said, you know what, I think I want to vote this year. I ain't never voted before, but I think I want to vote. What do I need to do? Dude, you're 2 weeks from voting, from the election, and are you arrested? No. Well, dude, you're done. Ain't nothing you can do. I said all that to say, if we wait to the presidency, then we'll end up with the lesser of two evils. But if we started off at city council, this guy just ain't making right decisions down here. He will never make it, or she will never make it to the presidency. And we don't have to worry about figuring out which one is the lesser of two evils. If we start off small and do those elections, if we go talk to our city council, don't wait till a big issue happens. Don't wait. You know what? C-SPAN comes on everybody's TV, and they're live right there in there, and we can look at that every day. But we have that is what we can do. That is what we have. So when all this blows over, you know, I haven't said too much else about the furlough and the shutdown on my Facebook page, but you best believe about 2 or 3 days after the budget, because the budget is going to get signed. That's the hope that we have. If your faith is in the government, the budget is going to get signed. Now, what does that mean as far as how it's going to benefit us? We don't know yet, but we know that the budget is going to get signed. So right after that, Facebook is going to blow up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I got a job. I can do this and I can do that. And we're going to be feeling all good and feeling all great. I'm going to wait about 2 days after that when we start talking about people, when we start talking about I'm now at the mall, and when we start talking about I can't stand my coworker. That's when I'm going to get back on Facebook, and I'm going to say, how many of y'all have gone to register to vote? How many of y'all have looked at when the next election? How many of y'all looked at when is the next council meeting? That's when, you know, because we got short minds, we got short memories. That's when it really counts. That's when we really mean what we want to say. That's that power that we have, that we don't have to wait till times like this, like now, and we don't have a voice, we don't have a vote. You know, you got people picketing, but Congress is still doing what they do. Let's not wait till the tragedy, but let's start now before the tragedy. And you know what? Now that we're in the tragedy, it's kind of, you know, we're already here. So let's deal with it right now. If you're furloughed and you're at home and you're not a registered voter, I hate to say it like this, but this is the truth of the matter. You ain't got nothing but time to stand in that long line and register to vote. That's what we have. You know, JR, you beat me up plenty of time. I'm finally getting it. Do what we can where we are with what we have. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have a voice, I have a vote, and I will use it. I have a voice, I have a vote, and I will use it. And I urge everyone out there to do the same, because that is what we have the power of doing. We cannot stop problems. But you know what, Jerry, you said something about this earlier, and the Bible says if my neighbor comes to be looking for bread, we don't just say, God bless you, send them on their way. No, we give them something to eat. And that's what I'm saying. We need to do something about it. It's time to get off our knees. And notice the Bible rarely tells us what Jesus was praying, but the Bible always tells us that Jesus got up and went somewhere. So let's get off our knees, and let's get up, and let's go somewhere, and let's do something. If you want to pick it, pick it. If you want to vote, vote. If you want to sit in, sit in. But don't sit there at home watching TV, crying, you know, looking, you know, do something about it. And I'm stopping right there because I'm getting worked up, JR. I'm stopping right there.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. If you want to join into the conversation, again, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you to the conversation. We are more than willing to let you have a seat at this table. We thank all of our listeners. We just want to take a quick moment just to thank God for the opportunity he's given us on Blog Talk Radio, but more especially on the We Speak Radio Network. On the We Speak Radio Network, there are several other shows in our family. We have Iconoclast Radio with Camille Townsend and a very powerful husband and wife team, Eric and Spence Murray. They host a show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we have Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen. Those of you who have been listening to us for a while know that she was a guest about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's the host of that show, and that airs on Tuesday nights at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we just want you to not just put all your time and energy into the PRF table. We definitely enjoy it, but just to let you know that there are other shows on the We Speak Radio Network, and it's also growing. So there's about 2 more shows that are coming on the network, and we have just hit 3 years as We Speak Radio Network. So we thank God for just the opportunity and all that he's done in that particular area. It is almost 9 o'clock. Again, if you want to join into this conversation, we welcome you to listen. We welcome you to join in. We welcome your comments, and you have the space to do it here on the PRF table. Sister Dia, I know you've been quiet. Brother Feaster, I know you just are trying to get some water right now, but let me just touch on an area, and you know how I do sometimes. You know I bring something up at the end of the show just to get you to thinking about it a little bit more as we get ready to go off the air. If you dealt with anybody with PRF concerns, mainly finances, though, you know that 99% of the time factors that make an individual situation are always going to be different. Let me say it like this. Just because a person cannot afford health care, and I'm just going to touch on health care for a moment, doesn't mean that they don't have their financial house in order. Just because they cannot afford health care doesn't mean that they've made some wrong decisions in their life, which prevent them from having health care. I want everybody to understand, and again, we're talking about economic certainty. We have to talk about healthcare in this conversation because it is something that is connected to this government shutdown, as I said at the top of the hour. So we want everybody to know that there's a story behind every person's story. And the question that I would think about proposing, and Brother Feaster, if you can hit this one up on the Facebook page as well, is do you have enough courage to care even about what the story is behind that story? Sometimes there's not just a story. Sometimes there's just a surface story. I lost my job, for example. That's what somebody may say. But there's a story behind that. There may be a reason why that person lost their job. Do you understand and recognize that there are some people that don't have gas money to get back and forth to work right now? Do you know that people have to start making decisions? So it's the same thing with healthcare. People have made decisions about, well, I can't afford healthcare, or I need my medicine, or I need this, so I'm going to put the money into that because I need this, I need to keep on going, and I'm going to push this other thing to the side. Economics is totally woven, interwoven in this thing that we're dealing with as far as this crisis. There are many of us who are fortunate and blessed enough to, or in some cases are lucky enough to get health care or even to have it before the Affordable Health Care Act came out. So often people with insurance, health care, have certain things that sometimes people have different mindsets. And I'm thinking about it like this, Brother Feaster. Just because I have it doesn't mean that I cannot be concerned about the person who does not have it. I think that God really wants me to be able to be in a position to help those who I'm able to help. But recognizing that it is only by his grace that I have the things that he's allowed me to have. I remember a couple of years ago, I sprained my ankle really bad playing basketball. And I didn't have to worry, Brother Feaster, about not being able to pay for a have the money to pay for the copay. If they would have asked for the copay, which they did, I didn't have to worry about not having the money for the copay when I went to the hospital. I didn't have to say, I can't go to the hospital, so let me nurse this thing myself because I don't have the money for the copay. I didn't have to say, I don't have insurance at all, so not only is it about not having the money to pay for a copay, I'm not going to be able to pay this $900, $1,000 bill for x-rays and to be seen by a doctor for a period of 2 hours. I think God is really trying to tell us some things. I think God is trying to pull us together. I think God is trying to make sure that we don't do what you just said, Brother Feaster, that 2 days after everything becomes quote-unquote good again, that we go back to business as usual, that we don't care about the person to our left and the right. I'm fortunate enough to have health care. I'm blessed to have health care, but there are a lot of people that are not. Again, I still consider, what am I going to do on Sunday? Am I going to just go to church to hear that same old message that we hear quite frequently in church? What does God want us to do? More especially, what does God want you to do? It can't be business as usual. People are dealing with some serious things, some serious issues. We had a sister that came on last week, matter of fact, that worked in the healthcare industry, that talked about people in the healthcare industry don't understand the Affordable Health Care Act and don't know what to tell people. These are the things that we have to talk about. If we're not willing to talk about them here, where else are we going to learn to talk about it? Sister Dia, we are winding down. I'm going to just let you say some final comments, if you have anything else that you wanted to bring to the listeners before we get ready to shut it down for the night.
I just had two things, and one of them just was based off of what you had said earlier, that, you know, with people not having church or as usual. But I guess the question that I would have, and it's probably, I don't know how it's going to sound, but the question that I would have, that I would ask is, how many people will be honest to say that they wanted this to happen? And it's a twofold question, because we know that some people wanted this to happen, and we know that some people didn't, and some people remain neutral. And I ask that question because if our faith is still anchored in God, even if because this happened, do we still trust him enough? I don't know how that will resonate with anybody, but how many people are willing to just, to be honest, to say, I wanted this to happen? Because, and I say that because when you mentioned that we have to go through something, and maybe this would be one of those things that, so that we can, to build up our faith. In order for our faith to be built up, can we ever get to a place to say, God, even though I don't accept and I don't like what's happening, because I voted some of those people in office and they're the same ones that are the reason to me not going to work in the morning, can we be honest enough to say I needed this so that I can still put my trust and my faith in you? Because a lot of times we can say something and not want stuff to be church as usual or business as usual, but if we never get to the place of saying, I'm accounted all joy, even when I'm going through the trial, then there something that's going to be learned? And so I would say that the first thing that as Christians and as believers of God is that we're going to have to be able to say, you know what, God, I don't like this. I don't think it's fair. I'm upset and I'm angry about selfishness. But, God, I thank you for this opportunity for my faith to be stretched. If I can be honest with God about that, then I can go to the next phase, which is to grow in my faith to know that whatever I have that I'm depending on God to work, now he can. I'm giving him something to work with. If I never get to the place to say, God, I needed this because I needed to know that it wasn't all about me and that it wasn't all about my job and it definitely wasn't all about the government and those elected officials, then I would never know that I needed you even the more. Because sometimes in our Christian walk, we think we good. We ain't had no trials in about 6 months to a year. You know, everything is copacetic. And then something comes along, whether it's expected or not, and it knocks us off our feet, and some people don't recover. Some Christians just walk away from God altogether. But if I can honestly say, God, I needed this, even though I didn't ask for it, even though it's not fair what's going on to me, now I'm giving God something to work with. I'm giving him me, and he can work on my behalf. So when I go to church on Sunday, it shouldn't be church as usual because God has begun a change in me. And if the change doesn't start in me, then I cannot affect or reach the masses and tell them that I was able to count it all joy because now I'm in day three, getting ready to be day four of being out of work. And so that's one thing that I wanted to look at. And the other one was I so wanted to high-five you, Fista, when you were talking about what you posted on Facebook because I had posted a similar message to say that I am going to exercise my right as a citizen. I'm going back. I think I put on Facebook, I'm going back to look at who I voted for. And if they some of these same jokers that wasn't speaking for my voice or so many other people's voices, they can't go back into office because not only do we have the right to do things in the spiritual, which is to pray, but now we have to get up and do something in the natural. And so I think that it's imperative that we understand that there is always we use the scripture that God is not a God of division or whatever. I can't think of it right now. So if because he's not the type of God that is about mess, then when we pray, now it's time to put it into action. And it doesn't mean that people's feelings aren't going to be hurt. It doesn't mean that feathers are not going to be ruffled. But what it does mean is that once I've gone to God and he has given me directions on what I need to do, understand that you're not going to please everybody. Everybody's not going to be in support of you, and some people may not even care to be your friend anymore. But if you're walking in the direction and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will know just like the saying that people didn't like Jesus, they're not going to like you, and you will be persecuted for what you believe in. But as long as you stand and continue to do all that you can do while you're standing, you got to know that the word of God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And as long as we are standing strong in the Lord and in his power, then we got to know that God is always going to have our back. He's always going to be by our side, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us when other people do that, as they clearly shown through our government. And that's all that I want to say.
Thank you, Brother Feaster.
I'm gonna try to be short and sweet, and I want to simply just encourage. I know, right? I simply want to encourage everybody during this time. It's easy for me to sit here and say have faith. It's easy for me to sit here and say trust God. It's easy because tomorrow morning I'll be getting up and I'll be going to work, and on the 15th there will be money in my bank account. A lot of the amenities have just been cut off. So it's easy for me to say that. Well, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand one thing. It may be easy for me to say it now, but there was a time when it was not easy for me. And the same faith that you're having to exercise right now is the same faith we all have to exercise in any situation. So I want to encourage you to look to the hills. In other words, look past what you see right now and find something to have hope in. If you're a believer in God, you know, hit me up on Facebook if you need some encouragement. I'll be glad to encourage you. But if you're not a believer, hit me up and I'll be glad to encourage you. But I just really believe that in times like this, we need something to stand on. And when we find that thing to stand on, we need to stand flat-footed and don't let anything shake us, because that's what's going to get us through. And don't let this be idle time. Be productive even in the idle time, because an idle time is the devil's workshop, and all you're going to do is not think productively over time. You're going to muster in, be upset in what's going on. So I just want to encourage everybody during this time, have faith in God. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Nate, I have just one thing. If I can just say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to leave this, and I know everybody has heard this before, but I just want to sing this one little line, and I've never done this before, but it's, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor, so be very sure. You be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. So you be sure. You be very, very, very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Wow. How do I come behind that? I'm not going to try to do much. I'm not going to try to do much. Come on, baby. Seriously? I mean, no, I have it, but I'm just not going to do it tonight. You know, I'm not going to do that to my cousin. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we thank you so much for just being with us. We thank you, and we thank God for just allowing you to be at the table with us, listening to what God has put on our hearts. Let me leave us with this. You know, there's an artist by the name of David Banner who has an album called Death of a Prophet, and he has a song that's called Something is Wrong. And what he does in this song, he addresses several conditions of societal life that just don't seem right. And I would add to that, for such a country with as many resources that we have, with as many talented people that we have the abundance of everything we could almost imagine, and not to mention the grand masses of spiritual, religious, and church folks that you can imagine on one planet or on one country. Although this album was put out in 2010, I'm going to just leave us with these words, because I think it really sums up a lot of what we've talked about tonight. He says, if you look at all the hurt, you look at all the pain, people are dying and it's just a shame. He said, I know something's wrong, but won't nobody say it. He said, I know that something's wrong, but won't nobody say it. He said, I know that something's wrong, but won't nobody say it. I'll even put it in a record, but would anybody play it? I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to say what we need to say on the PRF table. If nobody else will say it, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, myself, you as the guests who are calling in, providing your comments, we're all going to say it, because there's a lot to be said about a lot that is going on around us. We hope that this message tonight, we hope that this show tonight has been encouraging for you. Tell others about the show every Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time. Join into the conversation. After the show is over, again, go to possessions.resources.finances on Facebook. Like our page. Also join in on the conversation. Post your questions. I believe that Afisa has posted some questions that we've been talking about throughout the show. We've been talking about a lot of things. And Brother Feaster, one of the things that you said, and I'll leave it with this, you were talking about it being easy right now. But this is what I thought about when you said that. Those of us who right now are have some savings saved up, we may be good right now, but what if God allowed this thing to last 7 or 8 months? Those of us, those of you with 6 months of savings that you're holding on just so you can make it through, what will you do after your savings runs out? To tag on to Sister Adia's comment, it's not about waiting until after something happens to you that you get concerned. And I promise you, what you sow is what you reap. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we appreciate you so much. Come back and join us again next week at the PRS table. God bless you, and we love you.
Like it.